Welcome to the Ireland-Canada Connection, a new podcast series exploring the deep cultural, political and business relationship between Ireland and Canada, brought to you by the Ireland-Canada Business Association. I'm Patrick Haughey, and throughout this series, I will be meeting leaders in business, culture and public affairs from both nations. We're going to try to get to the heart of what makes this great relationship tick, and I'm going to be getting their insights and advice about how to succeed in business in both nations. In this episode, I am joined by Sue Kelly, Director of Operations for RX Source, a global pharmaceutical wholesale distributor from Canada that set up operations in Ireland in 2016 and that has been going from strength to strength ever since. Sue and I chat about things like why RX Source chose Ireland over the UK as a base for its EU operations, what it has been like operating in Ireland and what the company has learned about Ireland, the impact of COVID-19 on the company and how it has adjusted, and lots, lots more. So Sue kicks off the conversation by telling me a little bit about the company.
Right, RX Source are actually a global pharmaceutical wholesale distributor. We started off in Canada in 15 years ago now. Actually, we had a lovely little celebration just before the whole COVID crisis decided to close down the world, where we were able to celebrate across the ocean with the fact that we were 15 years in operation in February of this year. It was very nice. It was lovely. It was cake. The origin of the company is that two gentlemen came together, came up with an idea 15 years ago now, back in Toronto in Canada. And they both had experience in the pharma market, and they could both see that there were issues facing the pharma market. And some of those issues could be shortages or lack of supply. So they had a look at where they might be able to use their skills, their talents, their networks, and be able to provide solutions. And that came in the form of reaching out to the global pharma market and being able to see where there are areas that they might be able to tap into their existing contacts and be able to provide somewhere a solution when there was a problem facing a global supply, a national supply, and be able to reach out and look after and offer help to the people who were experiencing difficulty in those areas. So that's how they went about setting up RX Source and tapped into their global networks, built up networks and communications and pathways and supply chains, and were able to reach out and provide solutions to a global market where people were suffering and not able to find what they were looking for, struggling or in difficulty. And they were able to come in and offer an alternative.
Okay, so jumping ahead then to back to the decision to set up in Ireland. So you mentioned the sort of regulatory side of this. So is it advantageous and, well, nearly almost obligatory for a company like RX Source to have a physical presence, some kind of operations within the continent of Europe or within the EU to do business here?
Yeah, it isn't mandatory, but it releases a huge number of restrictions. And it actually releases a huge number of restrictions, even from the perspective of our customers and our vendors, because it determines what kind of license or authorization they need to have. So for a European company, they don't need to have a specific export licensing if they're dealing within the European Union. Likewise for our customers, they don't need to have an import authorization if it's within the European Union. So that hugely opened doors for the kind of transactions that we could conduct. It's like I say, it's not mandatory, but if you want to grow your business and if you want to be able to maximize your potential, then absolutely it is essential to have.
So then obviously it could have been any country within the EU. So what were the key reasons why Ireland was chosen?
Initially, it was actually the UK, because obviously language was a big thing and the Canadians speak English. So the language was going to be the primary driver, and then obviously any kind of incentives. But the UK, they also had a huge network of contacts and family members, et cetera, et cetera. So what it came to was Brexit was a massive opportunity for Ireland, because the minute Brexit kicked in, it meant that the entire open door to the European Union was being closed from the UK. So what was the next best option? We still had the door open into the EU, and then we also offered some nice little tax breaks and stuff for bringing in a foreign country, a foreign operation into Ireland. So that they were actually the drivers in the end. But if Brexit hadn't happened, I wouldn't be here, because the company would be based in the UK.
Interesting. And then I suppose from the perspective of a Canadian multinational company operating in Ireland, how has it gone? I suppose obviously you're very successful and everything, but what have been some of the highlights and maybe the lessons?
Actually, getting into the pharma industry in Ireland is not an easy game. It is not easy at all. Basically, there's a duopoly in distribution throughout the throughout the country. So trying to get a foothold was our biggest problem. Bit by bit by bit, getting our name out there was getting increasingly easier because we had a range of contacts that we could tap into and say, look, you know, give us an order. But definitely, there is also a very significant framework in regulation in Ireland where we're much more strictly managed. And it's a very good thing because if you think of the fact that we're an island nation and basically medicinal product could come from anywhere and land on our shores. So in order to make sure it's regulated, in order to make sure it's a safe supply chain, Ireland has a very, very, very rigid regulatory process, which has been, I won't say it's been a challenge, it's been an adventure because it is all surmountable. And thankfully, there is a significant level of OCD between myself and some of my teammates. So that meant that we're very happy to be able to have the rules and abide by the rules and even try and, you know, help improve the rules or increase the rules if possible. So like we thankfully we have a great relationship with HPRA. We respect hugely everything that they do, and it means that it made it much, much easier from our point of view to be able to say, you know what, here's the regulatory process, we're going to abide by this one. And we actually went ahead and started to set a gold standard or even a platinum standard in relation to quality throughout our organization, which is filtered out then across into the US and Canada offices. Because the standard over here, the standard with the HPRA is just so high that, you know, if we can do it to their standard, then we're good with other competent authorities.
Which no doubt has led to, or in part led to Ireland having such a phenomenal reputation in relation to pharmaceutical operations.
Absolutely. Like, you know, if people are usually afraid of their regulator, but I have to say, I just think they're absolutely astoundingly good. But then again, I'm not sure I should be putting that out on air. But at the same time, it has been fantastic. And we've actually had both both customers and vendors come back to us who wouldn't be based in Ireland to say, oh, you've a HPRA authorization. Oh, well, in that case. And we're more highly respected than somebody who might have one from another EU country. So we've actually won business based on the fact that obviously our quality and our quality management is done to a certain level if it's been approved by these people. So they're held in such high regard that it has actually been beneficial for us to be at that level.
So you are in a very interesting industry. In light of the COVID-19 outbreak and crisis over the last couple of months. So what has COVID-19 meant for RxSource?
We're very fortunate in one regard. For what it has meant is that my team are scattered to the corners of the country, and we're all trying to work remotely with a core group going into the office every day to keep us running. But what it has meant is that we've had increased requirement for sourcing of product. So basically, when we touched on shortages there earlier on, one of our key business elements is that we supply exempt medicinal product, which is unauthorized medicines, to the specific requirement of a patient. And that would usually be coming to us from a hospital. So a doctor in a hospital is looking for a specific product that he needs sourced for his specific patient. And part of our business model is that we go and we source that particular product for them if it's not available in the normal supply chain. So the problem we've had with COVID-19 is that there's a significant amount of newer drugs or critical care drugs that would not have been high on people's list of demands prior to COVID-19 because they're for emergent care in specific requirement, whereas, you know, they're now being hugely, hugely sought.
In relation for the treatment of COVID-19?
Yes, or for the treatment of other, like Donald Trump's favourite one, hydroxychloroquine, actually has caused a major, major shortage throughout the world because of this, you know, publicly saying it's all going to be used for COVID-19. That is actually a product that is used for autoimmune disorders and several other conditions as well. And what that's done is it's actually had a knock-on effect on the availability of supply for the people who were on it prior to COVID-19 happening. So while we might not actually be supplying what is being used for COVID-19 right now, we are supplying where COVID-19 has taken it from the normal supply, and we're filling that void. And not only are we're not just doing it in Ireland, we're doing it actually globally, because we've had a huge, huge impact on our other customers who are throughout the globe, where this has been a problem. Like the National Health Services may have been pulling the supply of hydroxychloroquine or chloroquine, and then their regular patients who needed it can no longer access it. So we're having to supply it out to pharmacies and hospitals throughout the world for it.
And to source what you were sourcing for your clients, is it business as usual for RxSource, or is your job harder the last few months as well?
My job is slightly harder in relation to the fact that we're having a bit of difficulty on the supply side of things. So what we would normally have would maybe a 10 or 14 day lead time on something that was a brand new query. By the time we source it, we supply it, we get it back in from wherever we're bringing it, and we get it out to the customer. That's being extended now to maybe 3 weeks, because the supply from our vendors or the other countries is being impacted and affected by COVID-19. That has been a bit of a nightmare. We're also then in the medical device side of things, so we are also involved in the supply of face masks, medical device class one, and PPE, but not just personal protective wear. It is the medical device side of it. So you've got thermometers and goggles and coveralls and stuff like that. They actually fall into a different classification, and we have to go and source out the licensing on all of them to make sure that they're valid and genuine. And astoundingly, you would be amazed at how many of them have not been. That the number of these people that are coming to the market and saying that this is available and here, buy this from me, and you have a minimum order quantity of 15,000 units, and you go and check out the documentation they sent, and it turns out to be forged. So there's a huge amount of that actually floating through the market right now that we're trying to work with regulators and other organizations to make sure that this doesn't hit the market, because, you know, unsafe PPE is no good to anybody.
Yeah, that's very, very interesting. Some people simply don't miss an opportunity, do they?
At really
times like
don't.
This. Yeah. No. So have you had to, you're director of operations, so from an operations perspective, very much, you know, on the ground, what has it meant? Have you had to ramp up hiring? Have you had to change the nature of how your team is doing things to cope?
Yep. So we have. We literally made remote offices in everybody's house. Ironically, I was a little, I could see it happening. A little bit ahead of our team in Canada, and I actually had presented a what if scenario to the team in Canada and a proposed action plan. And literally, I was actually in the car driving back to the office when 11 o'clock on the Thursday, the 12th of March, there was an announcement made by our Taoiseach. And I was able to go into the office basically straight away and say, right, okay, this is this, this is that, this is the other, pack up, let's get this to your house, this to your house. And we basically had everybody move out from then, with a skeleton crew stay in the office from that point on. We actually have a facility that is large enough. So we have one person working upstairs, one downstairs, one in the warehouse. And that way they are socially distant from each other all through the day. And we don't have to worry about, you know, the 2 meter thing. So everybody is safe and everybody is looked after. We've increased, obviously, our supply of face masks and gloves and bleach and disinfectant and in the warehouse itself. But most of our team now are working remotely. Now, it is because we're a global organization, we're used to interacting on a, you know, remote basis. We have our login calls and our team chats and all that kind of thing. But one thing that's hugely, hugely important to me, we have a magnificent team. We have a fabulous ethic. We have a great camaraderie and we have a great level of communication. So that is very, very, very important to keep alive. So we have a Wednesday morning grab a mug. We sit down and we have a coffee and we all turn on our cameras and have a visual with each other, because it's so easy to just kind of be on your headset and do your calls and whatever and keep up to date. But we make sure we see each other on a Wednesday and we have a chat and we have a bit of a joke and a laugh. We've had a separate time where we book and we play bingo. We have a Disney quiz booked in for next Wednesday morning. So we're doing fun things to keep the mental health of our team and to keep the communication and connection there. Because the biggest risk to us at that point is if we're not seeing each other all the time, that our connection could be damaged or infringed upon. And, you know, it is grand chatting away to somebody on a call, but if we're not feeling like we're with them. So that's been very important. And we've literally been doing that since day one. And in fairness to them, we have a senior management team in Canada who will dial in and have a chat with each of us on a Friday as well. So we'll just have a few minutes where we call in on a Friday and we all just have this little chat with them just to say, look, we are still relatively sane. We weren't perfectly sane to start with. So we are relatively sane still, but we keep this connection going. And then like we have a daily operations meeting where we go through all the things that need to be done. So from an efficiency and effectiveness point of view, we're actually completely uninhindered.
That's interesting. And it sounds like, as a global company, that what you have in place for this time is actually something that may even stay part of what you do long term, because it's really gelling different people in different places together.
Very much so. And when you mentioned hiring there, I'm reluctant to hire anybody who's going to work in our office without actually having face-to-face interviews. That's a personal thing for me. I need to make sure that I get that connection with them physically, like one-to-one, to know that they're going to be a good fit. And it's usually fairly instantaneous that you can pick that up.
Yeah.
But we do have, we've had a hire in Wales, we've had a hire in the Netherlands, and we've a new person starting from Spain on Monday. So our global team is growing while we are in remote lockdown, because they are actually going to be continuing their relationship with us in a remote manner. So it is definitely benefiting. I think everybody is getting, because there was only a few of us would have touched base all the time with our global teams. And now everybody's touching base all the time with our global team. So it's improving the level of communication for everybody, and their global teams are not feeling in any way that, you know, they're not as close as the person next door. So it's been good.
No,
yeah.
Congratulations. It sounds like really interesting things you're doing. Just before we wrap up, Sue, we're hearing a lot, and just back in terms of the sort of global pharmaceutical industry, you know, we've been hearing a lot about supply chains and maybe, you know, over-reliance in certain countries and continents for our pharmaceuticals, etc. What are your thoughts on where the industry, if you're happy to share, how the industry might look different maybe in a year or 2 years' time as a result of COVID?
To be quite honest, I don't see the changes from COVID. The changes I've seen are going to be more from Brexit than they will be from COVID.
Really?
And I know we've had recent announcement from the president of the USA saying he wants to bring the supply chain back. In all fairness, that's an ongoing thing that's been happening for a very long time, and it's not something I consider to be a very high risk. The reason for that is there are import and export regulations. And if those countries decide to, or sorry, those companies decide to take their operations back to the USA, it faces them then with a global situation. And while they may have originally been US pharma companies, each entity in each country is now an entity of that country. So it's a nice threat to have bandy around, and for the president of the States to want to make his power known. But what I have seen, and I don't know if this is the kind of information you want, but I have seen a huge, I know I rant about them, the HPRA and the HSE, the level of engagement that they have had with the manufacturers directly to make sure that the continuity of supply, which is a big thing for anybody in pharma, the continuity of supply for Ireland, they have done incredible work. There are a group of committees that have been set up internally between the HSE and the HPRA, and thankfully we're very fortunate to be on their contact list. But they have done a power of work to make sure that Ireland does not suffer. Like, we're a small little country who could very easily have been left behind, and other bigger countries getting their spoke in first and making sure that their supply was looked after. And to be very honest with you, we are seeing, from my point of view, we are seeing other countries having bigger impacts on their supply chain than the Irish are, because our HSE and our HPRA are working so tirelessly to make sure that this doesn't happen. And in fairness, you know, I'm not to always be, you know, their cheerleader or anything, but I can clearly see when I'm dealing with the other countries and I'm dealing with the other, because I do thankfully have connections where I liaise with the Department of Health directly in several other countries, and they're trying to have the same sort of interaction that ours already have in place. So Ireland really has been quite ahead of the curve on a lot of things. I know there's going to be a lot of people will have different opinions on how COVID has been handled. But, you know, from a global point of view, because I'm interacting all the time with the different areas across the world, I can see how there has been a huge, hugely ahead of the game step to make sure that we have the medication, we can cover the need, we can cover the staffing. There's been a huge amount put there already. So the pharma industry, I do see, because these communications were opened to protect the country for supply, I can't see how that would fall back now that those communication lines have been opened up to the level that they have. So I think the pharma industry here shouldn't be in a worse position after COVID. I think it should only be in a stronger one, because it's liaising directly with the right people.
Well, that's a really, really interesting view. Thanks for that, Sue. And then finally, the RX Source, its presence in Ireland, committed long-term, looking good.
Committed long-term, looking good, and every day more work for me. We actually were moving into, so currently we're in a GDP market and we're also going to move into GMP, and we plan on rolling out the opportunity to do packaging, labeling, offer more services. We do managed service for companies already. We're doing distribution lines for companies already. We have a distribution arrangement in place with a European parallel importer. So there is a huge market there. So much so, I've knocked into our next door neighbor in our current facility and asked him, would he be interested in selling? So
Wow.
we're here for the long haul. We have huge ties to Ireland, and it is we're enjoying helping it grow.
Well, you're a very busy lady, so it sounds like I better let you get back to your busy job, and say thank you very, very much for taking the time. Some really genuinely fascinating thoughts and insights from you there, Sue. So thanks very much for joining us. That is Sue Kelly, Director of Operations at RxSource.
Thanks for having me, Patrick.
And thank you for listening to the show. And make sure to check out the ICBA website, which is irelandcanada.com, for more information on how we can help you, whether you're a Canadian company in Ireland or an Irish company in Canada. Until the next episode, thanks for listening and take care.